This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Obviously, a lot of baseball today as we have a day off. Both teams off today as they get ready for weekend series. The Yankees will take on San Francisco. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I told you me and Evan do this the Rico Bronya podcast. I go on the Rico Bronya podcast every year. We do like a Yankee Met bet thing. And as of right now, I think there's one that really feels like I'm going to lose, and one I feel pretty confident I'm going to win. The one I'm going to lose is who's going to give up more runs, the Yankees or the Mets? I think the Yankees are going to give up more runs than the Mets. I turned away the offensive bet. I should have taken it. Because the Yankees have a chance to score more runs as both teams, and that it just stands to where they are. We're doing the opposite of what you thought. Like, I can't believe how well they're pitching, the Mets. I can't believe how poor the offense is. And for the Yankees, you know, right now, Williams, he's supposed to be one of the reasons this team is going to be good enough to be what we thought they could be. Like, him as the closer is a huge element of this team. Juan Soto and that Met offense is what is going to drive this team or what we thought. And yet both Devin Williams, the Yankee pitching rotation outside of Max Fried, have been awful. And you knew it was going to take a hit with the injuries to Luis Gil. I mean, let's be honest. The Yankees rotation is a mess right now. They lost their number one starter, their number three starter, and their number four starter. Like, you got 3/5 of the rotation that haven't pitched for the Yankees, and one's not coming back. But Devin Williams is supposed to be locked down, and he will be. I mean, the overreaction to Devin Williams, he's going to be just fine. Boone said it. I know it sounds like excuse-making for a lot of the fans. He's going to be completely fine. In fact, both closers were terrible in the game yesterday as Diaz gave up 3 runs in the 9th and his velocity was down. And, you know, his velocity had ticked up for the first couple outings, back down again. It could be because of the weather, and even Mendoza said that he doesn't think it affects the bats as much as it affects the velocity on pitchers. And we've seen it, you know, Rodon's velocity was down. A lot of the pitchers pitching in this cold weather, the velocity is down a little bit, but that's not why Devin Williams sucked yesterday. I mean, he just couldn't find anything. But I'm going to lose that bet, and the other one I'm going to win is home. We made a bet, and I hope Evan remembers this. He should have wrote it down. Home runs. Who's going to have more home runs, Ben Rice or Beatty? And right now, that's an easy one, as Ben Rice looks like, I mean, lefty on lefty, a huge 2-run home run in this game yesterday. And yes, everybody's tweeted at me. I know the pun of yesterday was the Fried Rice game. We all get it. And it's, you know, Fried is spelled like fried. Hilarious. I've like 10 different people have sent me that. Use it tonight on the show, Fried Rice. Yeah, okay. Everybody's a comedian. But he's been great, and Beatty has been the story. And what I feel bad about Beatty, and I genuinely feel bad for the kid. Two different reasons I feel bad for him. One, I honestly believe that he has the talent to be a major league hitter. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know what goes through his head. I don't know if it's the lack of confidence, you know, because he's talking again like, well, it's just 27 at bats. Well, not really. It's been a long run. And how many do you think you're going to get? Like, that's the thing. Like, McNeil's coming back. How many at bats do you think you have to prove yourself? All right, the manager is still backing you for now, but how long do you have before this is it? And I'll tell you this, as much as I've been a pro Beatty guy, and I do think he has the ability to be a major league hitter, and I'm puzzled and disappointed in the idea of how badly he struggled hitting 111 here, and the at-bats are not getting any better. Like, you can make a case, like, Vientos is really struggling, and he's walked a little bit. He got a couple hits, but he had the three walks in the other game. Watching them play, you can make a case, and plus of the production he gave you last year, you feel like Vientos is eventually going to snap out of it. I don't have any real faith, and I don't know how you could, that Beatty is going to turn this thing around. And I feel bad for him because hot spring dominates minor league pitching, and he just, for whatever reason, can't get out of his own way once he faces, you know, actual games in actual major league stadiums against actual major league pitchers, and he's just really struggling. And the second reason I feel bad for him at the moment is it feels like, despite being, were they 8-4 now? Despite being 8-4, the offense has been terrible. And the fan base is on the offense a little bit. I mean, they're happy they're winning ultimately, but they know they're going to have to produce more than this. And he is wearing it. It feels like he is the guy that the Met fans' ire is really. They're not that mad at Vientos yet. They're concerned maybe a little bit, but he was great for them last year, hitting home runs in the postseason. They believe in him a little bit off of what they saw last year. So, yeah, he's struggling, but that's, you know, they have faith he'll turn it around. Certainly Juan Soto is not going to get any blame, and it's not that he deserves it. He still, you know, has an 800-plus OPS, and he's getting on base. He's just not doing the damage you would like or expect. Lindor has gotten already much better over the last, you know, few games. Leadoff home run the other day. He's been far better than he was last year during his early season struggles, despite starting the year, the first couple of games really awful. But, like, it just feels like right now the offense, despite really no one hitting all that well outside of Pete Alonso, it just feels like right now Beatty is the guy wearing it. Beatty is the guy the fans are pointing to. Beatty is the one they're saying, get the hell out of here. It's not like Luis Angel Acuña is doing any better. Like, actual numbers, he's not doing any better with the bat. He maybe some of the at-bats look a little bit better, and certainly he's better defensively, and Beatty also had the error yesterday, which doesn't do him any favors. But Acuña could steal a base. Acuña could play better second base. Acuña can do a couple different things for you where really the only value that Beatty has is to produce offensively and drive the baseball and hit home runs. And that's what he does in spring, and that's what he does in the minor leagues. So I feel bad for him, one, because he's this close to living out his dream, and he can't figure it out. And I'm puzzled because I believe in his ability, and so do the Mets. And then I feel bad for him, too, because he right now, it's better that they're winning. Because I can tell you right now, the fan, like, every call I would take, if the Mets were losing right now, if the Mets had lost this series and the offense did what it did and Beatty's as bad as he is, that would be almost every phone call. Would be, they got to get the help, they got to get Beatty out of there. Right now, the pitching has made it. So the conversation is about how great the bullpen is. The conversation is about how much Stearns in this pitching lab has gotten out of the rotation. Instead of, wow, this offense is killing them now. That's not the conversation. If they were losing, it would be. And I think it would probably affect Vientos a little bit, but it would absolutely make things much worse for Beatty. But right now, he's the one wearing it. It just feels like he's the guy the fan base is fed up with. He's the guy we're waiting for the change, waiting for McNeil to come back, of all people. Like, that's what it just feels like. And I feel bad for him, but he's looked awful. Just awful. Swinging through high fastballs, swinging through low breaking balls, out, you know, behind the fastball, ahead of the breaking stuff. Like, he's just in a typical in-betwixt, in-between situation, and I don't know if he's getting out of it. And then the other thing is, like, how many more chances does he get? Like, if McNeil comes back and they send him down, barring injury, which would change things, but, like, how many more chances does Beatty get? Like, is he back next year raking in spring training and getting a legitimate look at the Major League roster next year if they have to send him down next year? Because you know what's going to happen. Like, if they send him down, we're going to hear about how he hit two home runs in Syracuse before the plane lands. Like, that's just who he is. He's going to go to Syracuse and mash. But this is, I mean, he's had a lot of at-bats. I mean, it's not like he's had 23, 25 at-bats, which he's had so far, you know, this season. If you go to his career numbers, let me pull them up here. He's had like 650 plate appearances. Here we go. Beatty has had, over the course of how many years here? He made his debut in 2022. He has had 568 at-bats. And over that 568 at-bats, he's hitting 211, including 111 right now. A career 594 OPS. Like, he has just been brutal, and it's not just been the start of this year. It's been since he's come up with the major leagues. It's over the span of 4 years. He played 11 games in 22, he played 108 in 23, and he played 50 games last year. This is it. If he gets sent down when McNeil comes back, I don't know if you ever see him in a Mets uniform ever again. 888-808-1019. And instead, I've got that Ben Rice is going to hit home more home runs, and he looks like a completely different hitter, an enormous threat right now. Hits the big two-run home run that changes the outlook of this game yesterday, where you were worried, I was worried, all Yankee fans were worried, that they were going to waste this effort by Max Fried and end up getting clipped for a couple runs in the bullpen and losing this game. And thankfully, Ben Rice comes through with an enormous home run, lefty on lefty. And honestly, if you look at Ben Rice right now, he is better. And again, 12 games. But he is better at everything than I thought he was. He's hitting for more power and hitting the ball harder. He's got a better eye and controls the strike zone better than I thought. And then even watch him on the base paths. He hit a triple the other day. He runs better. Like, he's put on muscle. It looks like he's a better athlete. Like, he has made an enormous leap, and it's 12 games, and who knows? I'm not willing to declare it, but I'm just saying, like, over these 12 games, Ben Rice looks like a far better player than he was just last year. Far better. And that was a big home run in a big game the Yankees desperately needed yesterday, and one that backed up an unbelievable start from Max Fried. The Yankees add a couple of runs that, of course, they need because Williams was terrible in the ninth, and they are able to slink out of Detroit and head back home for a series against San Francisco, managing to win one of the three games in Detroit and salvage the series and not get swept, and are now 7-5 heading home, which is a huge difference than 6-6. So, I mean, Ben Rice right now has been great. Paul Goldschmidt has been great. Paul Goldschmidt's hitting almost 400. But the rest of the lineup has really struggled in the cold. Judge is still doing what he does, but some of the excitement we saw from the middle and back end of the lineup has not been there since the colder weather hit them in Detroit. Jazz leads the league in strikeouts. He's been awful, unable to come through with runners at third base. He, in this game, same thing. He has Judge at third base, hits a ground ball back to the pitcher. Judge is picked off at third and bad base running. Judge also made a bad throw home in the last inning and set up the possible tying run for a base hit by allowing the runner to go to second, throwing the ball all the way home. Like, they still have played a little bit of sloppy baseball here, no doubt. But overall, I'm still taking it as a positive here. They're banged up in the pitching staff, and the offense has been far better than I thought, even though it's been ice cold the last 2 days. 888-808-1019. And that's what just bothers me about this whole thing. Like, you know, Yankee fans just drive me nuts sometimes. Because every Yankee fan wants to, well, they did that against the Brewers. Oh, great. Big deal, you hit the Brewers. The Brewers have now the same record at 7-5. The Brewers were 0-3. That means, quick math, they are 7-2 since they left the Bronx. They beat the Rockies yesterday 17-2. Churio had a home run and five RBIs. The Milwaukee Brewers are not a joke. The Milwaukee Brewers won their division last year. The Milwaukee Brewers and Churio have one of the better young players in baseball. Peralta is a good starting pitcher. Yelich, Contreras, like, they have a good lineup. They have a good team. It's not a great team, but it's a good team. The Yankees were hot and played well. Don't try and dismiss every win. I hate that. Oh, you did it against the Brewers. All the good teams they played, they lost to. How are the Brewers not a good team? They're 7-5, and they won the division last year. If the Yankees had lost to the Brewers, everybody would be including them in the list of good teams the Yankees lost to. Can't manipulate reality. They've been 7-2 in 9 games since leaving the Bronx. Don't say that the Detroit series is who the Yankees really are, and they just got lucky playing the lousy Milwaukee Brewers when they win. It's like, it's easy to just dismiss them if you dismiss every victory and harp on to every loss. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
I agree with you 100% because you want to know what you're right. The Brewers won the division. So we can't take the 3-game series and say they played it spectacular. They played every facet of the game very well, except for maybe the starting pitching, which didn't go.
Starting pitching is a major issue right now. There's no doubt about it.
It is. But Max Fried showed, he sort of stabilized things for one day. And Devin Williams has got to find it. Hopefully he will soon.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of 1978 when Goose got off to the slow start.
Yeah.
And I remember there was one day where George came in and started screaming at Goose, and standing right behind George was Thurman, and Thurman was laughing so hard he couldn't. And Goose looked at Thurman after George left and said, "What were you laughing at?"
And
Thurman said, "You." I remember that. I remember reading that in the paper, and I said, "Oh, this is the Bronx Zoo back then."
Yeah.
But getting back to Devin Williams, he'll find it. Come on.
Of course.
12 games in.
And it's four appearances, and he was gone for 4 or 5 days having a baby. Like, he hasn't really pitched much. The way the Yankees have gone here, they've either been losing or blowing teams out. They haven't really had much use for a closer. I'm not making excuses for him because he's been terrible. But we went over his numbers. His track record is legit. It's as good as it gets. He is one of the best relievers in baseball. He's been bad to start the year, and it's frustrating. And if he would have blown that game yesterday, it would have been a major problem. I don't disagree. That would have been a devastating loss. I know it's only a couple games in, and I would have probably gotten over it within a couple of days. But in the moment, it would have been crushing. To lose that game the way Max Fried played with a 4-run lead in the 9th, bringing your closer in. Here's the one thing I'll say about Devin Williams that I approve of and that I appreciate. At least he's the one guy that if he gives up runs, so far the Yankee fans haven't blamed the manager. I'll at least say that. At least it's refreshing knowing that a reliever can come in and suck and we could just blame the reliever instead of blaming Boone for putting him in the game. At least that's a bit of a relief that I know when William sucks, everyone's just going to be mad at him as opposed to saying, "What the hell was Boone doing?" But, yeah, I mean, the starting rotation needs a lot of work. But I definitely think that Devin Williams will come around. I think the back end of the bullpen is going to end up being a major strength for the Yankees. Williams and Weaver are going to be a huge positive. You've got Ian Hamilton back now. You're still waiting for Jonathan Loaisiga. I really believe the back end of the bullpen, if the Yankees have a lead after 6, they're going to be in good shape. I think 7, 8, 9 is going to be in good shape. It's just a matter of getting there. And you mentioned Goose Gossage, and a bunch of people have. I don't know if I'm sure I've told the story, but this takes me back to my early days in WFAN. Bob, the great Bob Uessler, who I need to check in on. I got to say hi to Bob. Maybe he'll return my text, John Minko. Still haven't returned my text, John. But the great Bob Uessler, if you want to know, maybe if there's anyone who could make me hate the Mets, it's Bob Uessler. And I don't, and I've talked about this a lot. But man, when I first started here, when I first interned on Saturday nights. And the great Lou Zambrano was the tape op, and he was helping train me on cutting tape, and Bob was the update anchor. And we had a lot of fun on those Saturdays, but even from then, from the beginnings of me starting at the station, the minute Bob found out I was a Yankee fan, it was just nonstop. Blah, blah, blah. He was just always busting my shoes. My God. Every time the Yankees lost, he would throw a damn party in the newsroom. You'd be standing, you know, I've been doing whatever. All of a sudden you'd hear, boom! And you would look and, you know, some Yankee gave up a two-run home run. That was, you know, Bob was just obsessed with the Yankees losing. And so he was getting on me once about Mariano Rivera. And the comments that Goose Gossage said about Mariano Rivera and the amount of innings closers used to have to go, and Mo only comes in for one inning, which wasn't the case. Look at all his postseason performances. He went multiple innings and damn near every appearance in the postseason. But Goose Gossage was kind of like, there was that thing where Goose Gossage was kind of getting on just relief pitching in general. And he wasn't getting on Mo, but he was talking about, even though Mo, you know, as great as Mo is, he didn't have to do the innings, blah, blah. And Bob was like hitting me with it all day for some reason. I don't even remember. But Bob was hitting me with it. And he kept on talking about, well, Goose Gossage says, well, Goose Gossage says. And I just like, I looked at Bob and I just said, ah, blank Goose Gossage. Just like that. I said, ah, blank Goose Gossage. And Bob, from that moment on, you should have seen his face when I said it. From that moment on, he used to make me, when we would have at the beginning of the season, or if I would have a prediction, or I would say things, we would go back and forth, and I'd say, you watch, the Yankees are going to win this series, or whatever. He would have it printed up. He would say, he would have a piece of paper printed up, and it would say, you know, I, Chris McMonagle, guarantee that this or that will happen with the New York Yankees. And then he would have me at the bottom sign it. And at the very bottom, it said, you know, and here's my signature, blah, blah, blah. And then right next to it, it said blank, you know, F Goose Gossage. And I just have to sign this piece of paper on all my guarantees with Bob out in the newsroom. I miss those days. Those were crazy times. But yeah, F Goose Gossage was a thing I lived by for a while. 888-808-1019. Corey and Waterbury, we're going to get to you in just a second. Quick break. McMonagle here with you. We still got another hour and a half of our five-hour midnight ride as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back here on The Fan. I miss the days when you could associate.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, over-designed, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Great songs and music videos. Music videos are the best, man. And now I was watching TV the other day and I'm flipping through. And I got to tell you, I don't know why I got a visceral reaction from it. I actually got angry. And I don't know why, because I haven't cared in a long time. And I have no interest in watching MTV. I know what it's become. The reality TV shows. I was never into even the Jersey Shore or any of the, like, for a time. You know, in the early days of it, maybe The Real World was so cool and innovative at the time that I remember watching The Year with Puck all the way back then. So I've definitely watched a couple of seasons of The Real World, and I was aware of what the Jersey Shore was, but I was never a regular watcher of it. But I was flipping through the channels last week, and I turned on MTV as I'm flipping through, I end up on MTV. And on MTV, right? And it wasn't late at night or like crazy late at night. It was probably like 8 or 9 o'clock. I don't know. On MTV, Goodfellas. I mean, what are we... Goodfellas is a tremendous film. I love Goodfellas. Why is MTV playing mafia movies at 8 o'clock? They have not... It's music television. As far as I know, that's what the M... in MTV stands for music. It's music television. Why, oh why, is Goodfellas on? Because there's no music to play, because nobody does music videos anymore, because no one cares. And that's fine, I suppose. But, like, I don't know. Can you do anything besides that? I don't know. Like, MTV, I know this is crazy. Go make documentaries about musical acts and put that on. Something. Something music related. Why am I watching Goodfellas on MTV? And by the way, Goodfellas on cable television sucks. There are some movies just not worth watching on it. We talk about, like, to me, if you're flipping through the channels and you catch, like, on TNT or TBS or USA or whatever, you get, like, Shawshank Redemption. You get A Few Good Men. You get, I don't know, Stand By Me. You get, like, some of those, you know, classic films. You get When Harry Met Sally. You know, those are fine, right? You miss a little bit. You know, Meet the Parents, comedies, or, like, you can live with it. You can't watch good. Like, anytime I turn on TNT and, like, Casino is on, I'm like, what's the point of watching Casino? That every other word gets bleeped out? Why does MTV have Goodfellas on? I'll never understand it. It's a different world. Kids today. They want to watch 90s mafia movies instead of music videos. I don't know. Bring back Road Rules. What a dopey show they used to do. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Corey in Waterbury. What's up, Corey?
Hey.
Hey.
C-Mac.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, I know that's you.
I know that's
you. You're my boy.
Oh, thank you very much, Corey.
I got a question.
Yeah.
What would you do
for a Klondike bar? A lot right now. I could go for a Klondike bar. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What would you do for Travis Hunter?
What would I do for Travis Hunter? Do you mean like...
I'm a Jets fan.
So what would I do to try and go get Travis Hunter?
Yep.
It's a good question.
Now you got Sauce and you got Travis Hunter.
Yeah. And he can help you in the wide receiver game on a little bit of an aspect. And thank you for the call, Corey. Let's start there first. I do not believe, whatever anybody says, I do not believe he is going to be able to do both at a level where he really impacts you on the other side. Like, I think he's going to be, in my personal opinion, I think he's going to be a very good cornerback who occasionally will be mixed into some kind of package on third down, maybe, which is valuable. But I do not believe that there is a world where Travis Hunter or any other player in the NFL is going to go play three or four downs or a drive. Like, can you imagine a 10-play defensive drive where he is playing cornerback against, you know, the best wide receivers in the game, right? He's got to go against Josh Allen throwing, you know, you got to go against, you know, Jamar Chase. You got to go against some of the better wide receivers in the game and some of the tougher offenses in the game, chasing down running backs, chasing down quarterbacks, getting hit, making tackles. Like, he goes on a 10-play drive, turns around, and then, like, they're going to punt, catch the ball, and then he's going to go play wide receiver for three or four downs? I don't believe it. I don't believe he's going to be able to do both on any real significant level. Now, will there be packages? Will there be times? Can he provide certain things? Can he punt return, kick return? Maybe, if you want to wait, you know, if you want to risk the injury to your defensive back that you need. But yeah, like, he can be explosive in some scenario, but he is not going to be a wow. He helps you on defense. He helps you on. I just don't see it. I don't. So having said that, I view him as a shutdown corner. And yeah, the Jets, that would, you know, they're losing. They've already lost a very good in Reed. They've lost a very good cornerback in Reed. That would help them. Now, here's the thing, though, for me. As great as he is, and I do think he's great, he's going in the top three. Do I deem it worthy to trade up from 7 to somewhere in the top three, which would mean really the top two? I mean, excuse me, the 2 and 3, because you know it seems like Cam Ward's going 1. So would I trade up to 2 with the Browns, or would I trade up to 3 with the Giants to go take Hunter? No. I don't think I would. If you've listened to me, I think you know what the next words out of my mouth are. I would only move up to draft a quarterback. That is it. I think Travis Hunter is a tremendous player and has an opportunity to be a real good shutdown cornerback in this league with maybe being able to throw a couple of wrinkles at you on offense. I don't think he's a game changer. I don't think he changes your franchise. I don't think he impacts winning at the level that it's worth trading up for and giving away. And you know, to go to 7-2 is going to cost you. You know how much? Do you know how valuable the second and third round pick is in the NFL draft? Do you know how many picks you're going to have to give up? You only do it for a player that can turn around your franchise. And I know you guys don't want to hear this, and I know it makes some people uncomfortable, but that's only the quarterback. And I know how wrong you can be with the quarterback, and I know it's a crapshoot, and as is every position, and I know how many first-round draft picks haven't worked out and all that. I've heard it all, and I know it all. Doesn't change the fact that if you get it right, it changes who you are instantly. Where Carter doesn't, and Hunter doesn't. Like, shutdown corner. Who's the best cornerback in the league? Patrick Surtain? In Denver? I would say he's a pretty damn good quarterback. I think he's one of the best players in the NFL. He's a shutdown corner, as good as they come in the NFL. He's been there for a while in Denver. Did they win? Did they do anything? Did they have a good team? Did they underachieve and become the laughingstock of that division and arguably of the league with everything going on with Russell Wilson? And did they? Yeah. When did they turn it around? They made the playoffs last year. What happened? Did Patrick Surtain have a better year? What happened? Yeah, the defense played well, yeah, but what happened? They drafted Bo Nix. They got the quarterback in the building. They teamed him up with an offensive head coach, and that team suddenly was good enough to make the playoffs. Bo Nix changes your franchise if you're right on him. Hunter does not. Carter does not. And that's why I want to take that. That's why I want the Giants to take a shot. And you know what? If you come up small on that shot, take it again next year. That's it. That's how I feel. I feel strongly about it. To me, it's the quarterback. That's it. You get the quarterback, you can have sustained winning. Nothing else provides sustained winning. Yeah, I mean, you know, now let's look at the Eagles because people will point to the Eagles. And yeah, they have one hell of a roster. And yes, they built the largest, baddest, and best offensive line we've seen in a while. And they have really good talent. They, you know, obviously, you know, he's one of the best GMs in the sport, maybe of all sports. He's done an incredible job building a great roster. They've accumulated a bunch of different talent in a bunch of different places. And they have a second-round quarterback making a hell of a lot of money who is, I would say, very good and solid, and then in big games plays great. So, I mean, if you could find that and build the great roster, sure, you could have sustained winning. But for the most part, when you look at the teams that dominate their divisions, when you look at the teams who win 10 to 13 games every single stinking year, they're not doing it based on anything else but having the right quarterback. That's what sustains you. That's what props you up. That's what keeps you from being a bad team. That's what gets you sustained success. So when you're drafting third, why not take that shot? And if you're drafting seventh and Shedeur Sanders falls to you, take that shot. Do it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. You can be wrong with other players too. Whoever the Jets select at seven, they can be wrong on. But if they're right, it won't matter as much as if they're right on the quarterback. To me, that's where I fall into this whole conversation. Yes, you can be wrong on the quarterback. And I'll even give you could be more wrong, or you more often wrong, that the quarterback is the hardest position to assess, that it's the hardest position to figure out what you got. It's the hardest position to look at the draft and the combine and the pro days and the film and to make a right decision and get the quarterback. It's more difficult than a wide receiver, an offensive lineman, or a shutdown corner, an edge rusher. Those are all more likely, but they still flop. And if they do flop, it hurts you just as much as the quarterback. I hate that narrative that if you're wrong on the quarterback, it sets you back forever. I mean, Evan Neal was a flop for the Giants. I think that set them back pretty much. Like, if you're wrong on the 6th, 7th, 3rd pick, it doesn't matter what position. You can't be wrong drafting there. The only thing I'll give you is it is harder and you're more likely to be wrong with the quarterback. Fine. But if you're right, you go from being the Washington Commanders who can't beat the Giants to being the Washington Commanders beating the Lions on the road. In the playoffs, you go from playing in the, you know, meaningless games in December to playing in the NFC Championship game in 1 year. And you can tell me Dan Quinn's a better head coach than Ron Rivera. And you can tell me that they added some free agents on defense. And you could tell me this and you can tell me that. They changed owner. Obviously, Dan Snyder is out as the owner. There is one reason. They are playing in the NFC Championship game. And it's the quarterback, plain and simple. So to me, it's about the juice being worth the squeeze, man. I want to know if I'm right with that third pick. I change my franchise. And there's no other position that guarantees me that. I could be right, and the Giants have been. Giants have been right on the running back, right? Saquon Barkley, whether it worked with the Giants or not, they were right on the talent. Gettleman saying he's touched by the hand of God and destined for a gold jacket was absolutely true. Did it impact winning for the Giants? Andrew Thomas is a Pro Bowl left tackle. Has it impacted winning? Has it impacted offensive line play? Dexter Lawrence is arguably, since Donald left, the premier interior defensive lineman in the sport, and certainly the premier pass rusher as a defensive interior lineman. Has that helped the Giants win? Like, they've been right on a lot, and it doesn't freaking matter. They were wrong on Daniel Jones, and it screwed them. If you're right on the quarterback, it uplifts your entire organization. So that's why I want it bad. I'll take the chance, because if Shedeur Sanders is better than everybody thinks, and Shedeur Sanders is a legitimate franchise quarterback, the Giants have a future. If Hunter is everything we hope he is, the Giants still need to find a quarterback to have the future. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back. Continue to take your phone calls as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. I got two young boys who watch. You think I don't know the Kung Fu Panda movie?
I swear I didn't know this was from that movie like today.
Yeah, no, that's from the movie. That's a cover of Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time. It's actually kick-ass. It's really good.
Fire cover. Fire. Yeah. I saw it on Instagram today.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was comparing the last three movies he was in. He does songs for all of them, Peaches and the Mario and whatever the song
is.
The Minecraft movie he's in, which is, by the way, the crowd reaction's insane.
That's so funny you mentioned that, because my son has been asking me to go. We haven't had time. Now baseball's back. Like, the weekends are busy. We're going on vacation. We're going to Florida in a little bit. But he wants to go to see the Minecraft movie. I don't know anything about Minecraft at all. And he hasn't really played it either. I mean, he's aware of it, but it's not like a big part of his life, like wrestling or, you know, some other things
that
he's into. You know, Kung Fu Panda, but like... sports, like he's into baseball. Now we just joined like a random Yahoo Fantasy Baseball League, so we're doing that every morning. He's into it. But I guess he knows it a little bit. And he was asking me to go, and I looked into it just out of curiosity, and the reviews are like terrible. The reviews are the movie is god awful. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all, but you're right. I have seen videos on social media where in the theater, the people are going crazy.
It's insane.
They're like on each other's shoulders. Like, it looks like college age level kids who've grown up with it. They're like on each other's shoulders. They're throwing things in the air. Like, there's this one scene apparently where Jason Momoa is going to fight like a character, a Minecraft character, and it looks like a young little Frankenstein on a chicken. Literally, a little Frankenstein type character comes down and lands on a chicken, and he's about to fight Jason Momoa. That's the scene. It's in like a ring, like a boxing ring, and Jack Black is the announcer slash referee, and he screams something when the Frankenstein character comes down and lands on the chicken, and the place erupts. I don't even know what he says, because he could barely get the words out of his mouth before the entire audience goes crazy.
It's like the crash in a glass with Stone Cold
coming
out. Yeah,
it's nuts. It looks like, you mentioned it, and we were talking about this before, like you mentioned it, that it's like Rocky Horror Picture Show. I always thought, I'm a huge Rocky Horror Picture Show fan. I think it's a great musical, great songs. Tim Curry is, if you can, go watch... go watch it. It is Tim Curry in Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's one of the great performances ever. I really put it up there as one of the great performances ever. He's incredible. But like they had like a movie theater experience. You would go to these late night showings, and there was like a bunch of puns and jokes that like they would say, "Great Scott" is like one of the things. Great Scott, and everybody would throw toilet paper, like Scott's toilet paper, up at the screen, or you know, there would be lines that they would react to. It was like an immersed thing where you'd go to a movie and interact with the screening of the film and do all of these weird things and throw toilet paper and scream back at the movie and whatever else you did. Like, that's what these videos are in this weird Minecraft movie, which is getting panned universally all over the place. I can't see one good article about, yeah, the movie was good. Like, not one single thing from a Minecraft fan saying it did Minecraft justice. Like, it has been universally panned, but then there's all these social media videos of the movie theater experience being fire.
I saw the funniest post, too. Somebody put it on Twitter. It was a picture of them just in the disgusting theater afterwards, which, I mean, listen, those workers at AMC, Regal, whatever theater it may be, they deserve $100 extra an hour for dealing with this stuff.
Right.
But this guy posted this picture of him sitting in there, and he goes, he captions it, he says, "That was the worst movie I have ever seen in my life, but the crowd understood the assignment, and we made it work."
Are you telling me that there was like a guy holding up a live chicken?
Yep. Somebody snuck in a live chicken to a movie theater.
I mean, listen, you sneak in Raisinettes. You don't sneak in a live chicken.
I mean, there's another video where people are firing off fireworks. Now, I don't know if that's real or not, but
in the
there's
theater?
A video of people firing off fireworks in the theater.
Oh, my God. That is.
I mean, it's a little ridiculous.
That is bizarre. I can't believe it's having this kind of reaction. I don't want to go to a movie knowing that there's a guy next to my son with a trench coat with a chicken underneath it.
Who's going to get on his buddy's shoulders?
Yeah, it's going to
hold the thing up like Simba in the Lion King.
Right, he's going to unveil his chicken. There's another word that I'm not going to use. But like he's going to unveil his chicken in a movie theater? Like, for what? From some dopey Jack Black movie? And I like Jack Black. But now I feel like I can't take my kids to go see it. Marco won't understand. I don't even want to bother.
Marco should have an opinion on this.
Nah, he won't even have an opinion. You don't want to know.
Okay.
Minecraft. You ever play Minecraft? No Minecraft. Interested in Minecraft? Something like, isn't the main character's name Steve or something?
I am Steve.
Never played. My son does.
Okay.
And went to go see the movie.
Oh, you went to go see it already?
I did not. My son went with a birthday party with one of his friends on the weekend.
Did they get Buck in there? Did they get crazy? Because that's what we're talking about. Apparently, like, it's become like an interactive movie theater experience where, you know, I think older adults, not.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think 10-year-olds.
No, not 10-year-olds. But like college age level kids from the videos I can see go to these theaters and like are throwing confetti and bringing live chickens and going crazy on each other's shoulders.
Chicken Jockey, right?
Is that his name, Chicken Jockey?
I think that's what happens in the part of the movie. I think there's a chicken jockey.
Yeah.
Part. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard about
it. Like Little Frankenstein lands on the chicken.
Yeah, you know what? I'll ask my 10-year-old. I'll see if
they got crazy in there.
Yeah, if they had chickens in the movie theater. I'm going to assume no, because I feel like I would have been alerted to this.
Was it a birthday party, you said?
It was like five or six kids.
So maybe they rented out the theater? Or
No. Okay, it was maybe it was a little less. Maybe it was seven kids. I don't know.
Okay.
But there was only one or two parents that took them, and I wasn't one of the parents. I feel like I would have heard them. If someone had chickens in the theater, I feel like it would have been alerted to this. Maybe not.
How do you sneak a chicken? I'm like sweating, bringing in a bottle of water and milk duds. Like, how did someone sneak a chicken in there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not like getting a Starburst.
No.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. It's crazy.
Where do you get chickens?
What?
Where would you get a chicken?
I don't know. Farm?
Do you like rent them? Do you just go to a farm and just take them?
I've heard that you can rent chickens now with the price of eggs.
Really?
That you can rent the chicken. I have my cousin lives up even a little bit further north than me in farmland, she has. I'm not allowed to have chickens with the HOA. They don't let you have chickens, but she has chickens and she's bringing over eggs and everything. It right now it's good to have a couple chickens. There's no doubt.
So is that why everybody's got chickens that they can go to bring to Minecraft, because everybody wants chickens for the price of eggs? Is that what we're doing?
I don't. Someone stole a chicken or someone had a chicken because they had a coop.
Stealing a chicken. Is that like in farmland where they go cow tipping? They could just run in and like steal a chicken?
Apparently that's
not Rocky?
Real.
Are they going to be able to actually catch the chicken?
Yeah, maybe. Huh. I would think.
Minecraft movie, yes.
I always thought that scene was a little. It's not that hard to catch a chicken. I'm sorry. Well, that speed? Come on.
In an enclosed area?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I would imagine in a big giant farm. Yeah, I think it would be hard to catch a chicken.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I feel like it would.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you.
I don't think they run that fast.
You're not going to catch a chicken.
I bet you I could.
Mac.
You don't think I'd catch a chicken?
It could be confined in this studio we're in, and you're not catching that chicken.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
With everything in the way, you're not catching that chicken.
Yeah, no. You're like Patino questioning my lateral quickness. I can move, okay? I can move.
I think you got a better shot of knocking yourself out, ramming your head into the glass.
You kidding me?
There's no way.
I'd catch that. I'd have a bag full of bacon in my pocket, but I would catch that chicken.
You got a chance. You got a better chance of being a chicken jockey than being catching a chicken.
I don't know about that. But yeah. But it's crazy in a movie theater experience with young kids like that. Now I'm afraid that there's like a guy in a trench coat hiding a chicken next to me, waiting for the chicken jockey scene. Weird.
I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever thought I was going to hear guy with a trench coat hiding a chicken
Yeah.
coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, well, it did. And I'm nervous about it.
I will say this, though, to ease your nerves and anybody listening out there's nerves, they are, a lot of movie theaters are requiring parents to go with their kids now. If you're under 18, you need an adult with you to see this movie.
Do you get patted down to see if you got a chicken on you as
exactly,
you go in?
Exactly right.
Can we
yeah.
do that?
Yeah.
Because that would avoid all of this. Instead of your ticket, because there's no ticket stub anymore, now you just show the phone or whatever and you come through.
Right.
Can there be another person that's past that? Before you could pick up your snacks, they could pat you down?
Like, yeah, the chicken
inspector.
Get a wand?
Get like a chicken wand?
Yeah, maybe. There's got to be something. Nowadays, there's probably like a second line of security or something like that, especially if these movies are doing anything like that. It's crazy.
Need a second line of defense for the chickens.
Did you ever go to were you ever invited to a movie theater for a birthday party when you were a kid?
No.
My buddy's, I'll never forget it, my buddy's, I think it was either his 10th or 11th birthday. He was having a party and he had it at the movie theater, the Franklin Square Cinema, the famous Franklin Square Cinema. And I'll never forget, we went to go see Sister Act 2. That was the movie. A bunch of Back in the Habit. A bunch of 10 and 11-year-old boys went to go see the Sister Act 2. I remember showing up to the theater thinking, Mike, seriously? We're going to see
Sister
Act?
Who picked this movie?
His mother, probably. I don't know. Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, 15, 10-year-olds.
Did you bring chickens?
Yeah, no. No, I didn't bring any chicken. Yeah, I'll never forget that. I remember walking into theater. I'm like, are we really going to see Sister Act 2 right now?
Did you get a slushie with that? Something to come
yeah,
with I that?
Mean, yeah, probably. Probably pretzels and nacho cheese. I think that was my buddy Mike's go-to at the movie theater. It's crazy now what they serve at the movie theater. You can get like a chicken sandwich. It's so who would go to a movie
theater?
They get
like a fork and knife, like dinner. Actually,
well, there are theaters who do that specifically. Like that's their thing.
Oh,
like,
really?
I actually looked at. I'm going to Naples, and there's one in Naples where it's literally like a chef and a kitchen, and they'll make you dinner, and they bring it out to you, and you have a fork and knife. That's different than just off the menu at a normal movie theater.
Okay,
but like you just go to the movie theater I go to in Middletown or whatever, like. You go in there, it's like chicken sandwiches and flatbreads, and I'm like, who the hell's going to get a flatbread? Why? Oh, yeah, no, I'll have the sun-dried tomato flatbread as I go to see Minecraft. Thanks.
I know one person that does get it because I've seen him get it before.
Who's that?
And that's the man who usually sits here, Fleagle? Mr. Fleegs.
He gets like the chicken sandwiches or the flatbreads or the...
Oh, he gets real food.
Oh, that's weird. I'm sorry. I have to call him out on that. You know, you get candy and soda. That's what you get. You don't go. You don't get there. Oh yeah, I'll have the mozzarella sticks.
Like, yeah, see that I'm not getting. I don't know if I'd go candy. I'm not a big candy guy. I do like the pretzels though. Pretzels are solid. And get some popcorn.
Well, yeah, no, okay,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But not like legitimate. Like I see flatbreads on the menu. Who the hell would get a flatbread?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm trusting the movie theater for this.
I mean, that's what
they can't even handle not letting chickens in to come see Minecraft. Right. I don't think I'm going to make them make sauce in the background for
Bellinger me. Bellinger trusted chicken wings at a hotel, and you pay for that, man.
Yeah.
You pay for that kind of stuff. It's no fun. All right, we're a little bit late for the update. Here's Marco.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.